Well, good morning, everyone. We welcome those of you who are worshiping with us live this morning and those who are watching live online. It's a beautiful morning, a little cold out there, but we hope you're safe and warm wherever you are. We're thankful for this opportunity to worship together today, and so let's say the Lord's Prayer together as we begin. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the wonders of your grace that we have in Jesus. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit who strengthens us within. So this morning, wherever we are, help us to truly enter into worship in spirit and in truth. We want to lift up your name. Lord, we're going to sing some songs and say some prayers. We're going to look into your word and hear it proclaimed. Lord, we're going to give in the offering. Whatever we're doing today, help it, Lord, to bring glory to your name, but help it also to form us in faith, that we would be your faithful people, sharing the good news of Jesus in our world. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. All right, let's sing together. Let's stand, and the words will be on the screen.
Jesus, Jesus, pray. eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Pass the plates, but we have the plates at the back that you can give as you leave today. If you're watching online, please click the Give Today button at fairmeadowchurch.org, or you can also click the Donate button on Facebook, or you can mail it in or drop it by during the week. However you get it here, we appreciate your faithful giving, as the heat bills will be interesting this winter. But as we continue in worship, we also want to go to prayer. So Joy's going to come and lead us. We want to pray for the Brozig family, celebrating the safe arrival of Sila, their little girl. She was born this week, and now they're nestled in at home and taking care of this new little one. And they report to me that her big brother, we call him C3, he's Charles III, is her constant watch guard. So we pray for them, and we're so thankful for the safe arrival of this wonderful baby. And then also we're praying for Linda and George. They have someone in their household who has COVID, and they have several co-workers with it, so they're wisely worshiping from home today. But we pray for the Lord's protection. We also are praying for Norma Goff, who is still in rehab. Wasn't feeling real good yesterday, so we just pray for the Lord to continue to touch her. And then pray for Martha Truman, who is recovering at home after a trip to the hospital, recovering from an infection. So we are also praying for our world. The virus is still very much with us, so please be very careful. But we're thankful for God's faithfulness through it all. So, Joy, if you'll lead us to the throne of grace.
I don't think any of us can explain to someone else what prayer is, other than the fact that we go and we can talk directly to the God of the universe. We don't know how it works, and we just, it's a mystery. But it's a wonderful mystery, and it's a gift that God has given to each and every one of us who are believers. So I would just ask that right now you just bow your heads and close your eyes. Just be comfortable. And take a moment to thank God for the gift of prayer. Father, you are the Almighty. You are the creator of the universe. We have all because you gave us all. You hung the stars in the sky. We have the moon and the sun because of your creation. Dear Father, we just could be here for days naming all the things that you created and you have given us. And we want to say thank you. And we want hearts filled with gratitude as we think about your wondrous power, your wondrous gifts. You are the great physician. We have nothing to fear. We know that you are with us. You created us. You know us more intimately than any other soul on earth. Father, we open ourselves to you. We ask that you will be with the individuals that the pastor messaged about and said that they are needing healing. We know, dear God, there's nothing that's impossible to you. We believe in the field of medicine and doctors and the healthcare, but we also believe in the miraculous gift of healing. And Father, we just call upon you to bestow this healing upon these loved individuals. And we know that each one of us, within the sound of my voice today, we know people who are suffering during this pandemic physically. We know people who have passed away. And Father, I just pray for your divine order, your divine comfort. And Father, I pray that you will continue to protect us and watch over us as we do all that we can to protect others. Father, I just give thanks for your mercy. I give thanks for all your forgiveness. There is nothing too big or too bad that you won't or can't forgive us for. And Father, I pray that you will be with our world at this time. When we think about it, we think it's a mighty big job. But Lord, we know that you're up to the task. And we just give you our country, our families, our world over to you, Lord, for your divine order. And Father, I pray that you will be with each and every home that's represented here this day. Each of us has a testimony. And I pray that you will bring individuals into our lives that we can share our testimony with. And dear God, we can introduce them to your son, Jesus, and for the wondrous life that we have because of Jesus. We have no fear. We know you are in control. And we know where our ultimate destination is. Dear God, I pray for this church. And I pray that you will bring us individuals for us to love and nurture. I pray for our pastor as he brings us the message this day. May our hearts and our minds be open and receptive to the word that the Holy Spirit will talk through him. Father, we love you. We cannot say enough times how much we love you. But we open ourselves to you. We ask that you will guide and protect our pastor. And Father, I pray that you will be with each and every one of us, that when we leave this place this day, we will go out into the world to serve and be your ambassadors and introduce Jesus to others. Dear God, it's in your holy and precious name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's stand for God's word at this time. We'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's going to sound a little different. I'm going to be reading from a paraphrased translation called The Message. But you read along in the version that you have, and I'll say more about that in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, open your heart to the word of the Lord. I want to talk about now is the various ways God's Spirit gets worked into our lives. This is complex and often misunderstood, but I want you to be informed and knowledgeable. Remember how you were when you didn't know God, led from one phony God to another, never knowing what you were doing, just doing it because everybody else did it. It's different in this life. God wants us to use our intelligence to seek to understand as well as we can. For instance, by using your heads, you know perfectly well that the Spirit of God would never prompt anyone to say, Jesus be damned. Nor would anyone be inclined to say, Jesus is Master, without the insight of the Holy Spirit. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful: wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out by one by the one Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. This is the word of the Lord. You can be seated. Well, spiritual gifts form a well-worn theme for Christians across the ages. And there's controversy over what counts as a real spiritual gift. Some groups emphasize that demonstrating certain spiritual gifts or manifestations are required to prove that you're a real Christian or that you're filled with the Spirit, while others have shut the whole topic down, saying that these gifts were only for the apostles and have nothing to do with the modern church. Others have reduced spiritual gifts to specific sets of abilities, so you take a test and determine what your gifts are, etc. But to me, all of these models miss the boat in their own right. All of them chip away and reduce what the big picture of this and other passages are trying to get at. And that's why I used the Message translation this morning. Now understand, it's a paraphrase, but it's based on deep study of the original language versions of the text. In fact, the translator of it taught Hebrew for many, many years. It's not like the original Living Bible, which was sort of just trying to make the King James easier to understand. It goes a little deeper than that. So I wouldn't recommend the Message as a study Bible, but it's great for devotional reading. And in some passages, it really brings out something important. So I assume today that you're reading along with your standard translation I really encourage you to do that. But Eugene Peterson, who developed the message, was also actually a local church pastor for 30 years. He saw it all come and go, and in his later years, he finally finished his translation, and it was written with the average American churchgoer or spiritual seeker in mind. I like Peterson because he didn't try to be popular. He sought to be honest and forthright, so I enjoy his many writings. The one big contribution to today's message is the first sentence. Let's put it on the screen. What I want to talk about now is the various ways God's Spirit gets worked into our lives. This is complex and often misunderstood, but I want you to be informed and knowledgeable. And this is what I believe Paul was really trying to say. To reduce this to a spiritual gifts list passage is to rob it of the most important things it wants to say to us. To be honest, I don't know why most translations have the term spiritual gifts in this sentence, because I don't find it in the original. It says tone pneumaticon, and literally, I guess you could say it means the spirituals. But I'll translate it as spiritual stuff or spiritual things. I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual stuff. That's what Paul is saying. But I love how Peterson has captured it. The various ways God's Spirit gets worked into our lives. So this is about the big picture of how the church, and the church means all of us, it's not about buildings or anything like that, but how the church interacts with the work of God's Spirit. If it were a diagram, there might be two big circles, one for the church and one for the Holy Spirit. We might be tempted to make it a Venn diagram. You know what those are, where you have one circle here and then another circle here, and they kind of overlap in the middle, and there's something important going on here. But if it's only a small overlap between the Holy Spirit and the church, well, friends, we're in trouble. Because if we're doing a whole bunch of stuff over here, but it's only affected by the Spirit a little bit over here, well, then what are we doing? So I think that in a perfect world, the circle of the Holy Spirit is a very big circle. And then the church is nestled well inside of that circle. We're to be immersed in the Spirit's work and seeking to live, move, and have our being in God completely. So I think that's why it's tone pneumaticon, all the things that have to do with the Spirit's work in our lives. So, in one sense, it doesn't matter what your spiritual gifts are if you aren't surrendered to God. Even pagan people speak in tongues sometimes, or they have special abilities, or even seek to do good. So while having a spiritual gift doesn't mean that you're perfect or you've arrived for the Christian, it does mean having a spiritual gift. It does mean that you're on the journey of being made perfect in love, and that the Spirit is working in and through your life. That's the most important part. You are, in another sense, a spiritual gift to your church and to those around you. Your special abilities help you fulfill God's mission in the world. So, if these are the things that are happening, you've decided to follow Jesus and you've committed to Him, you've taken those steps, you're surrendering to God, you're wanting to do His will in the world, you're letting Him guide you. If that stuff is happening, then here's what you can expect. It says the manifestation of the Spirit. So most translations use that phrase. To each, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now, some people choose to emphasize the one word, manifestation. They want to make that something huge and exciting. But that's not exactly what it says. We shouldn't overlook other important phrases in the verse, like to each one and for the common good. So it's not primarily about something private and special that I have to show that I belong to the Spirit. This is something that blesses other people. It's for the common good. And it's something everyone who is following Jesus will have, not just a few. Peterson translates it, this is verse 7, each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. Amen. So you don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be super spiritual. You just have to be following Jesus and saying yes to God's leading. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. That's powerful. That's the idea of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's work becomes evident to those around us through our gifts. That our actions reveal something about God to those around us. So think about this. This is foundational. Before you start thinking about any list of gifts or any supernatural abilities, realize that this is what God's doing. We're trying to reveal God's love, and God is working through us to make himself known. And we don't have to conjure this up because God is the one who is giving the gifts. Verse 4 and 5, and this time I'm going to use the NIV translation. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. So these gifts come from God. The Holy Spirit makes it possible, and it's about living out our relationship with God through our relationships with others. So are you with me so far in tracking what this is about? This is important. This is foundational to what it means to be a Christian and to be part of the church. All right, so another phrase there, abilities enabled by the Spirit. So all of the gifts that are listed here, they are abilities enabled by the Holy Spirit. Not everyone is good at everything, right? So we shouldn't try to be. But the issue is not what the ability is. The most important thing is who is empowering that ability. These abilities the Spirit provides, they can give us confidence. There's nothing wrong with being confident. Confident means you have faith in, right? And it's not faith in yourself, but it's faith in God and faith that God is working in you, and that gives you a sense of confidence as you live and as you serve. But it shouldn't be a source of pride. That's something very different. It can't be like, well, that gift that God gave me, that's kind of a special gift, isn't it, right? Oh, look at me with my special gift. That is the furthest thing from what God is up to for any of us, and it would take us completely out of the flow of what God was trying to do if we made it a source of pride. The Spirit distributes them, so it really doesn't have that much to do with us. It shows God's creativity and ability, not our own. And the Spirit does it under the lordship of Christ. So again, there is excitement in putting our spiritual gifts to use. I'm not going to deny that. But the excitement comes that God would want to use us for his purpose. It's exciting to feel that. And it's exciting to think that we could manage to be a blessing to someone else. Amen? But God gets the glory. God is working through us. So keep this front and center on your journey. All right, the other thing to keep in mind is that we aren't solo artists here, right? We're a part of something big. We're working in concert as directed by the Spirit. So, as we do that, directed by the Spirit, we're working together, good things begin to happen. But you can't sit off to the side and say, well, I'm going to do my thing, and I don't really care what other people do. I'm not going to consider others and how I use my gifts. I'll pick and choose. I'll engage when I'm motivated, and I'll check out when I'm not. Now imagine, if you've ever been to a symphony, right? It's a large group of musicians, right? But it's not just about one or two of them. Imagine a symphony where only a few people at a time decide to play what's on the page, right? Now, if it's just the tuba and the bassoon and one of the percussionists, it's not going to sound like much, right? Because that's not much by itself. It just doesn't work. But when everyone comes together, maybe it's your time to be silent for a while, but others are all playing, and now it's your time to play, and you come in and you make the music special by what you provide. And by this, I mean the music of serving God and living out the gospel. So your gifting isn't meant to stand alone. So please get plugged into all that God is doing in your church and realize when and how your gifts can make a difference. And don't make excuses. Realize it's given by God to everyone, and everyone is needed for the full expression of the body of Christ. Sometimes I hear people say things like, well, the church ought to do this. And it's usually people who aren't doing much themselves, right? It's like, oh, is God talking to you about that? Would you like to head up a team? We'd love to venture into that ministry area. All right, so this morning it lands to us now, this message. So what is your gift? That's something to figure out. Here we have many things listed in this passage. But this list and no list in particular passages are meant to box God in or limit God and how God works through your life. In every generation, in every family, in every church, in every individual, God unleashes the gifts that are needed. So we can assume that our church has every gift we need to fulfill what God is asking us to do now, as long as everyone is living in step with the Spirit and everyone's letting God lead them to use their abilities. So back to the Message translation, verses 8 through 11. The variety is wonderful. Wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out one by one by the one Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. So, see the bigger picture. A lot of groups try to say that it's a certain special phenomenon that fulfills each of these gifts. But I've gone back and forth at different times, but after studying and pastoring a long time, I'm not so sure about that. This tends to bring division from time to time rather than unity. It tends to put a lot of pressure on people to produce a certain supernatural act. And people build their whole identity on it. And then they start walking up to people and saying, well, God told me to tell you, you have to do this certain thing or you'll lose out with God forever. But that's not how it works. If God gives you a special message for someone, you would offer it in humility. We don't discern God's will for someone else, and we don't do it individually. We discern God's voice as a whole. If what you heard was really from God, it would be confirmed in that person's life. It would be coming as something confirming what they had been thinking or wondering about. And most likely would not be any sort of condemnation toward them in most situations. I'm not going to say that that would never happen or could never happen, but it maybe happens a lot and too often. It would be rare that you would hear from God like that for someone else. So I think we need to zoom out and reconsider what God is saying here. I think this is just one example of how having a super spiritual view of this can create a problem. Mostly, it's regular stuff that needs to get the message of Jesus to people who need it in a loving way. But it takes all of us fully surrendered to God and doing what God's asking us to do. So this morning, let's think about ways that we participate. And we're in the middle of a pandemic, so we're somewhat limited on what we can do. But right now, some of you are logged online and watching and hopefully saying something encouraging to someone or at least saying hello. So please log in and comment there in the feed as you're watching. We have Jeff and Carrie up in the booth right now helping the tech to go smoothly. This mic is working. We've got words on screens here. You're seeing it and the live stream is going out. That's because some folks get here early and work hard and set that up in advance. Now, I'm here preaching, and someone else greets folks as they arrive, hands out masks or whatever else is needed. Someone watches the door and helps keep us safe. Joy led us in prayer this morning, and she does whenever she can. Bob and Larry and others on the property team help take care of the property. Others really commit special time to praying for those in need and for the church and for me every day. Some send notes and cards or make encouraging phone calls. Others handle the paperwork or the offerings behind the scenes. The list goes on, and I don't want to limit it. There's many other things I failed to mention this morning, but your help is definitely needed. Now, some gifts are more visible up front, but it doesn't make them more important. And they can't happen without others doing their part. Every gift matters. And the way to think about it is just practically down to earth, God working in your life. It's mostly just the things that God helps us be good at and that becomes a gift to other people. Spiritual gifts because the Spirit hands them out, not because they're magical or weird. Spiritual gifts because they're empowered by the Holy Spirit. More happens than would happen if we were just doing it in our own natural ability. We were empowered by the Spirit to be more than we would be otherwise. And they're spiritual gifts because they result in God's glory and not ours. So, there are signs of God working in infinitely creative ways. So you don't have to try to be like someone else. Instead, please, try to be like Jesus. Amen? Look to him as your model and example. Now, do follow the example of others and how they put God first, how they follow God in important and creative ways. But your God-given abilities won't be exactly the same, and that's actually good. Spiritual gifts are mainly a sign of God working creatively. So this morning, how is God working creatively in you? Let's just read that one out loud together. So how is God working creatively in you? Number one, make sure you're following Jesus. Take those steps first. Talk to me if you're uncertain about how to begin. Number two, don't doubt that God is working in your life. Those of you who really need to hear that, you know who you are this morning. Number three, let the lists of abilities and gifts get you started in praying and seeking what your gifts are. Number four, there may be some trial and error as you try to get it right and try to get in sync with what God is showing you. But the point is, what you are gifted in can be a continual blessing to you and to others. Number five, don't desire a certain gift so much that you talk yourself into it. I'm going to say that again. Don't desire a certain gift so much that you talk yourself into it. And number six, be flexible. This is the Spirit moving, right? This is the Spirit trying to orchestrate something beautiful. In seasons of your life or in seasons of church life, your role might change, but that wouldn't necessarily be bad. So all of us need to be willing to serve in any basic need. And almost anyone could be a greeter. Some will be especially gifted at it, but anyone can say hi and welcome folks. Almost anyone could help fill in with kids if needed. Everyone can and should pray. Some are especially gifted in prayer. But please, all of us, try this at home. It works. You can do it. But most likely, you have a primary area of gifting that will emerge over time, and you'll enjoy it most of the time. And others will benefit from it when you use that gift. So if you haven't found it yet, don't give up. You need to find it, so keep trying. So Paul says to the Corinthians and to us, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual stuff, the stuff that leverages God's power into our lives and into the flow of the life of the church. Spiritual stuff includes spiritual people filled with God's love, becoming a spiritual gift to the body of Christ and to everyone around you through the abilities God gives you, used according to his will, for the benefit of others, for the building up of the church unto his glory. Amen. So, let's aim for being this. Number one, spiritual followers of Jesus, all right? Filled with God's holy love. Becoming a spiritual gift to the church and to others. Realizing that you have God-given abilities and that these abilities are for the benefit of others, for the building up of the church and others, to God's glory. Amen. Let this happen. Let this unfold in your life. If you need to begin taking steps, talk to me, talk to others, and let's find it. The special way that God wants to use all of us to be a gift to the church and to those who need Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for how it draws us more deeply into the life of love that you have for us. Father, help us to be the kind of people who want to follow you. Help us to be the kind of people opening our lives to all that you want to fill it with. Help us, Lord, to discern the gifts that you've given us. But help us to understand it's what you've done so we can have confidence. Help us to understand that when we use our gift, it's not about pride. But it's okay to use our gift and let it bless others. And Father, help us to want to encourage others rather than control others. And help us, Father, however those gifts unfold in our life, just to move through it with grace, to move through it with joy and love. And Lord, sometimes we're not going to feel like doing it. Sometimes it's going to feel like a chore, but Lord, help us not get bogged down. Let us not lose heart in serving you. Let us not lose heart in doing good. But help us to be reminded that it's the Spirit moving through us. And when we let God do it, it always ends up a blessing. So Lord, help us not to be ignorant in these areas, but instead help us to see it's about moving on to maturity and letting your Spirit move and work. Lord, it's beautiful music, and we can hear it rising up from within our lives, brought together in you. So thank you for the opportunities we have to serve. With our eyes still closed, if God's talking to you this morning, and it's about your gifts, or it's about just finding a way to serve, Would you please just say yes to how God is leading you this morning? And if there's just a practical step that you need to take next, commit right now to taking that step. Father, especially bless and work in the lives of those who are hearing from you. And for the rest of us, Lord, just may your spirit be the wind at our backs, that we would feel your energy and strength and have confidence to believe that you're going to use us to build your kingdom. Thank you for everything that's ours in Jesus, and for one more chance to worship you today. In his powerful name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Let's stand together. Let's say the Apostles' Creed before we go. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Find your gifts and be a gift. Be the good news of Jesus wherever you go. In his name, amen. Have a great week.